Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jay got the day off today. The whole idea about the Nets, well, I've never seen a team that loses every game and then turns it on. The Nets haven't played yet. This is like, if KD and Kyrie aren't on the floor, and now instead of Harden, Simmons is also not on the floor, that's not the Nets. Like, I don't look at any of those losses like the Nets lost those games. In the standings, it counts, but as long as they're in the playoff picture, soon as these dudes come back, it's completely different. Do I believe they could just turn it on? Hell yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I think they can turn it on. They're basketball players. Basketball, you could start to individualize yourself, meaning like I could get cooking and stay cooking in basketball, even though I could get my other teammates involved, but I can go out and score 45 and win the game. In other sports, I depend on so many other people to do their job. In football, I need 10 other people to do their job, including the offensive coordinator. So essentially, that's 11 to do their job for me to be able to do mine at the level that I want to. In baseball, I need things to go a certain way. In basketball, I got the ball. I got the rock in my hand. I can move everybody out the way, a la Kobe Bryant, All-Star, Michael Jordan. I got this, and do what I want to do. And so, you know, I think when you look at the Nets, though, not based on what happened last night against the Celtics, but much like you mentioned, them dudes ain't even played yet.
Come on, man. Like, so, the Nets lose to the Celtics technically. They got routed again, but without Kyrie, KD, and Simmons. Here's what you're going to hear in the news. It's the Nets' second 20-point home loss versus the Celtics this season. They lost by 35 on February 8th. Blah, blah, blah. It's totally, totally meaningless. It's a completely different situation when they get their players back. So that's the question, though. The new big three. Because now we saw when Kyrie and James Harden and KD were on the court together, you might as well, you know, raise up the white flag. Just surrender. No one was going to mess with those guys, but it's never going to happen now. Harden's gone, and in is Ben Simmons. And Danny Green had some comments about the way Ben Simmons will fit with his new teammates and some of his old teammates. Because remember, he got there with Seth Curry and Andre Drummond. Those guys were part of the package. So these guys dealt with him in Philly. Listen to what Danny Green says inside the Green Room with Danny Green podcast on Simmons' relationship with those teammates and his return to Philly.
Interesting dynamic of how things went down. Interesting dynamic of who went with him. I don't know. I haven't got a chance to talk to those guys yet, but I know they weren't on the most of cordial terms when he was in Philly with Drum and Seth. So I wonder how that relationship is now. I got a chance to talk to them. Now, will we shake hands to start? Probably not. First, I'd be highly surprised if he even plays in that game. I don't know where his health is mentally, physically, and we all know that he does not like to play in Philly. But say that does happen, I see it as being a very hectic playoff-like atmosphere environment to where it may be very rough for him.
So Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, problem with Ben Simmons? How's that going to work in the locker room? Seth Curry actually commented on this. He told ESPN after Thursday's shoot-around the following, Key, quote, "Business is business. I said from day one, even when he was out early in the season, people were asking me if I feel like if Ben comes back, should he apologize to us or whatever? I understand the business. He doesn't need to apologize to anybody. When he's on the court, I know he's going to do his job and he's going to do what he does, so I understand the business. He was doing what he felt was best for himself, business-wise and personal-wise. And the team's going to do the same thing as far as making trades or whatever. So I understand it. I've been around it. I don't take anything personal. When we're on the court, we're teammates. Everything's fine. And we depend on each other to do good things. There's been nothing negative he's done to me personally, so I'm fine." Key, your reaction to Seth Curry's comments, which really respond in a way to Danny Green's comments.
Well, Seth goes on to say, when we're on the court, we're fine. Like, that's all I care about. I don't care about all the other shenanigans surrounding him. I understand the business, and I'm cool with it. I rock with him. He's my teammate, and that's what it is. Doesn't mean we got to go have a steak to eat after the game. It doesn't mean that. It just means that I don't have a problem with. He's never done nothing to me personally. I mean, you know, yeah, he left the team for whatever reasons, and we felt like he probably should have played, but I understand the business side of it, so I don't even take it personally, is what Seth is saying.
Yeah, and by
the
way,
he didn't deny anything about not being a warming up to him, Fuzzy in Philadelphia, and him and Drummond having an issue. He didn't say anything about that. He just talked about on the court. Maybe there was an incident off the court. Maybe they didn't like each other eye to eye, or some words were exchanged off the court. But on the court, don't seem like he has a problem with it at all.
And you know, by the way, Seth Curry, when he talks about trades, he just got traded. He's saying, like, this is a business. You know, by the way, he got traded.
By his father-in-law.
By his father-in-law. His father, yeah. I mean, like, or by the team. But the fact is, the fact is, that doesn't make things easier for Doc to see his grandkids. You know what I mean? It makes his life.
They're up the road.
They're up the road, but it ain't the same as being right there. My point is, it's a business. And sometimes, like, you know, it like you might get traded. You can't take it personally. And I think that is also, I just talked about the kind of veteran leadership CJ McCollum showed, and it's a different situation in New Orleans, very young team and all that kind of stuff in terms of their core players, but or a young team at least. But this also is a guy in Seth Curry who's been around the block, who's going to bring professionalism and not to mention a whole lot of shooting to that Nets team.
Think about it, though. You mentioned professionalism. His father played in the NBA, his brother's in the NBA, his father-in-law in the NBA. So he understands the business side of it and how to become a professional. And
that's
he knows his
point.
Trade wasn't because he couldn't play. His trade was you're
he
part
could.
Of the deal.
It's because he
you're
could
part,
play.
You're part of the deal.
No,
that's the only reason why you got traded.
Yeah, it's because he could play. Because you're like, yeah, we need more than just Ben Simmons for James Harden. We want a dude who can play, like Seth Curry, who can shoot. It's funny, you bring up all the people in his family in the NBA. The crazy thing would be if he didn't understand the business of the NBA. That would be, you know, crazy because, yeah, his whole life is around the NBA, Seth Curry, and you'd assume be a welcome addition to the Nets locker room. By the way, the real issue for Ben Simmons, we could talk all we want about this other stuff. Key, the issue for Simmons is that forget about him missing shots, not even taking shots, which I've gotten him on for. Just take a shot. Take a floater in the lane for credit. Do something. Release the ball toward the basket. But the issue really is people feel he is passive in the playoffs, taking the ball to the rim where he creates for others. You know, Ben Simmons has created more open looks from three while he was playing than anyone in the league since he entered the league. Like, he actually helps your three-point shooting. Because you either double him and he finds the open man, or you don't and he's going to yam it on you, right? Like a la Giannis, except with better handles and even better passing. But if he's scared to go to the rim, Key, that's no good because he doesn't want to go to the free throw line, right?
Well, he's been afraid to go to the rim in the past, you know, what you want to call it, year?
Yeah.
So sometimes, and I'll say it as I always say, a change of scenery in environment goes a long ways for players in professional sports. Now, he's with a different team, a different coaching staff, a different audience that he wants to showcase in front of. And when you get that change of scenery and environment, sometimes the light turns on. It's the way you speak to somebody, for instance. If Kevin Durant walks up to him and says, hey, man, you know, won't you just think about doing it this way? Maybe that's a different way to approach it opposed to reading something in the Philadelphia newspaper about how horrible he is or his teammate Joel Embiid poking fun at him. You know, Doc Rivers saying something. You know what I'm saying? It's a way you approach it.
Especially when the best player in the world comes to you and says, what are you really going to say? Well, you don't know what it's like to be over 6'10 and be a great player. Let me tell you something. So let's bring Kendrick Perkins into this, ESPN NBA analyst and world champion. What's up, Big Perk? Perk, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Now, how do you think Simmons fits in not only with KD and Kyrie, but also his former Sixers teammates now in Brooklyn, Perk?
Well, I mean, that's a question we all waiting to see, right, Max? I mean, look, we haven't seen Ben Simmons play like it's going over 7 months now. And the last time we saw him play, we saw how horrible he was, okay? And then with all the drama, all the everything that he's been going through, I still don't know what his mentality is at. Now, look, I understand it's a completely different situation now. You know, guys move forward. You know, those guys were in the trade together, so they could kind of, you know, let that Philly stuff behind them. But at the end of the day, until I see Ben Simmons on the floor and actually see him play, I cannot answer that question, and I don't think no one can. We don't know what to expect out of Ben Simmons. We really don't.
Do you think and I don't know if you heard me coming in, Big Perk, but I said, you know, sometimes change of scenery goes a long ways, getting out of something that you probably didn't want to be in and you felt it, but now that you're in Brooklyn and you're around a Kyrie, a KD, or Steve Nash, it's a different approach, different conversation. Do you think that could potentially help him get past whatever demons at the rim or shooting by not taking shots? You think that could help him?
I do. And also the fans and how they embrace him. But, you know, Key, I think you have a great point for change of scenery helps anybody, especially – when they was in a place that they didn't want to be in, right? But I think, again, Ben Simmons is going to have to help his own case, and he's going to help there by going out there and playing and performing well. Because, I mean, for him to have the approach that he did in Philly, he put a lot of pressure on himself. So, like, still in all, he still have to go out there and deliver in some type of good fashion. But I will say this. Me knowing Kevin Durant is a guy that he has underrated leadership skills, right? And he's a guy that loves embracing the underdog or quote-unquote the villain. We watch how he rides with Kyrie. Like, when everybody have so much to say about Kyrie and Kyrie actions, who's the one person that we know is going to stick by Kyrie's side, even if that means, you know, losing James Harden, Kevin Durant. So I think KD is going to play a huge part for his Ben Simmons development, getting his mental together, and things to that nature. I think KD is going to be the guy to get Ben over the hump. But, again, he still has to go out there and play and deliver in some type of good fashion.
Kendrick Perkins, as you can plainly hear, on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Perk, Harden makes his debut with the Sixers tonight. And there's, you know, incredible pick and roll. Harden and Embiid, and Jay Wills brought it up on this show. On the other hand, ISO ball, is it too much? Two guys who both need the ball. Perk, to me it looks like Harden played the best pure point guard of his career last year. And I think he can get to the Nets and just make them better without taking stuff away if he plays like he did last year. But last year he did have D'Antoni on the bench there, right, as sort of like an offensive coordinator. How good do you think the Sixers will be with Embiid and now James Harden?
Well, I think, you know, Max, we don't give James Harden enough credit for actually transitioning his game, right? Like, he went from being three or four-time scoring champion to all of a sudden becoming one of the best point guards in the NBA as far as facilitating for others. So those contested shots, those tough shots that Joel Embiid have to make around the elbow area, mid-post area, those are going to be wide-open looks for him now. Because can you imagine him in the pick-and-roll situation, whether he's picking and popping and James Harden putting so much pressure on the defense going downhill.
Good
and he's
night.
Throwing that over-the-head pass to Big Embiid, and he's able to get those wide-open looks at the elbow or get those wide-open layups or dunks at the basket. So, you know, everybody keeps saying about isolation ball, but James Harden has shown us time and time again that he's a guy that is willing to sacrifice and a guy that is willing to take a lesser role for his scoring wise to make others around him better. He showed us that.
Mm. Perk, man, I've been down lately on my basketball, what, man. My Lakers, you know, they just not good sitting at 27-31 in the ninth spot in the Western Conference right now. Everyone's always saying, including Max Kellerman, oh, just wait till the second season. Westbrook's going to come out and do great. And so now that we're getting to the second so-called half of the season, can they turn things around to make a legitimate push?
You know what, Key? I hate to keep, you know, I don't want to pound on you because you're already down, but I got to be real with you. I don't see it happening. You know why? For the simple fact that people don't realize that the playoffs started just last night. The playoffs for the NBA started last night. Because of the addition of the play-in tournament, we're about to start seeing playoff basketball. So that means every single night that the Lakers are touching the floor, not only are they competing to try to get into the play-in tournament or possibly go on the road, which is going to be hard for them to do and get into a playoff spot, but the other teams that they're playing against also are playing for something. And without Anthony Davis, Max keeps saying Russell Westbrook is going to turn on the switch. He hasn't done it yet. I don't know when Max is going to give up on that aspect of it.
Max is on the verge of giving up.
okay, Max. Hey, look, and you know how I feel about Russell Westbrook, but I just don't see it. And I think right now, the way that teams are surging in the Western Conference, the way, like, you look at the Denver Nuggets, you look at the Minnesota Timberwolves right now, like, you look at all those teams that are down there that the Lakers have to compete with, and this, man, it's getting real scary. And then think about this, Keith, for a second. Even if they get into the playoffs, if they get the 6, 7, or 8 seed, the top three teams in the Western Conference are the Golden State Warriors, the Phoenix Suns at number one, and the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't believe that the Lakers could beat either one of those teams in a 7-game series. So for them to fight all the way, get to the first round of the playoffs and get a first round exit, it's going to be devastating.
Man, Perk, you didn't help.
I know, but I got to keep it real with you, big bro. I can't come on here and lie to you.
Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, just lie a little bit to him, Perk. He just needs a little something right now. That is Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, and you can see him scowling from time to time on This Just In, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, where just the other day he said, my list was perfect, I should frame it. I was hoping for a debate, but I didn't get one. Well, you know, you hang out with Perk, you pick up a few things. Maybe I'm getting smarter. Thanks, Perk.
All right.
ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins. Key's going to keep it real when it comes to Lamar Jackson next. Keyshawn J. Willimax on ESPN Radio. So, you know, Evan wrote that line just then. Key's going to keep it real, Key, in case you thought that came from me.
That definitely came from you, because that doesn't even sound like that would roll off the tongue.
That's why he wrote it for me.
For Evan.
That's why he wrote it for me, but it also doesn't set. It sounds like someone who thinks that I would say that.
I think you would say that.
Keep it real? I think.
Yeah, of course.
I don't.
I think every now and then you think you got all this swag, so you're going to say stuff that don't align.
I got the swag, Keith.
Look, you're going to say things that don't align with the academic and the education that you were afforded at the Columbia University.
That's right. I'm educated, but I'm educated in many, many ways.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jay with a day off, Key and me holding it down, and are joined now by the great Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst. And I know, D. Wood, you're a huge Islanders fan, right?
I am, Max. I am.
So tell me about Zdeno Chara. Tell me all about him, because he just set a record, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing, like, basically since, like, I graduated high school. Like, he's been playing the NHL a long time. He's big, physical. He's like a goon out there on the ice. You know, obviously on the back nine of his career, but he's been a really good player for a long time in the NHL.
This had to be from BC that you got this into hockey. Am I wrong? Like, that's a big hockey factory, right?
Yeah, BC is a big hockey school. We used to hang out with, like, the hockey players when I was there. They probably still do. But, yeah, a lot of really good players came out of Boston College. Mm.
Indeed. So, would Lamar Jackson's looking for a long-term deal this offseason, and the question rages, should he be paid, given his playing style and the fact that he just had a career marred in the second half of the season by injury? Should he get paid like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes?
Yes, absolutely he should get paid like those guys. You know, that's what the market dictates. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a former league MVP. He's one of the most unique players in the National Football League playing at the quarterback position. Make no mistake about it, when Lamar Jackson's out there and he's healthy, like, he's a nightmare to try to defend. There's no question about that. You know, I know other quarterbacks are in the limelight a little bit more because of what they did this past postseason, but Lamar Jackson is still that guy. And if I'm Lamar Jackson, there is no way in hell I am stepping on any grass, turf, or anything this offseason until my deal is done.
Well, see, that's what I'm trying to tell Max about the pay scale, right? The fact of the matter, because Max says, well, he's injured this year, so up until this year, yes. I'm like, no, you can't look at it that way. You got to look at it a couple ways. He's a dynamic player. He's a franchise quarterback. And he, first of all, you start comparing. He has no Stephon Diggs. He is doing more with less. Okay, he did get injured, but okay, so he missed some games due to injury, but that wasn't because of the style of play. He got injured just basically running. I mean, it wasn't one of those deals where he got knocked out of a game and concussed or shoulder popped out. It wasn't that situation. He's the next guy up, and you take care of him and make sure that you get the money right. And then on top of that, stepping on the field part of it, Damon, I get what you're saying. I get it. But I don't know his relationship with the Ravens, with Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Ravens. Like, does he have the type of relationship where they could have this conversation and he'd say, you know what, I need you at mini camps, OTAs, I need you to do some things so we can see how this offense is going to evolve as we work on your deal. If anything catastrophic would happen, we know where the numbers are going to be, and he feels comfortable doing that. And certain organizations do have that feel with certain players.
Well, Key, here's my thing, Key. What more do the Baltimore Ravens need to see? I mean, Josh Allen got his money last offseason, whatever it was. Like, they're in the same draft class. Josh Allen got his money. Like, what else, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, what else do you need to see from them?
I don't think it's the Ravens, though, Big Wood. I think it's more him, Lamar, not like he – Lamar is like a big kid, right? very bright, intelligent young man, but he's like a big kid. He's not in a rush to do anything else except go play basketball after school. Go get on the swing sets. He'll get to a snack. That's kind of how he is. He takes his time in doing things, and I think that's the holdup. It's not the Ravens. It's him and his mom and his lawyers that are just kind of like, we'll do it when we're ready.
Well, you know, listen, I'm never the one to, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to do what he wants to do. But here's my thing as far as Lamar Jackson's concerned. Like, your style of play, the way you play at the quarterback position is different from anybody else in the National Football League, which leaves you a little bit more susceptible to any type of career-ending injury. And so if I'm Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson's been putting this off. Lamar Jackson could have done this contract last offseason, but he's been putting it off, like you said, because he loves the game of football and all those type of things. But at some point, you got to think about the business of football, because you best believe the owners, everybody else, their mind is constantly on the business of football. And I just want, you know, I just want, as a guy who's always in favor of the players, for Lamar Jackson to take this time and address the business of football so he can continue to play the game that he loves so much.
Just to be clear about my position on Lamar, I'm not sure. Like, this is what I struggle with in terms of the long-term deal for Lamar. Okay, it's like in baseball, you take a pitcher. He's a power pitcher. And you go, well, he's getting by on the fastball. Fastball ain't always going to be there. Two ways to look at that. One is, yeah, but he can learn to pitch like the crafty dude. Crafty dude ain't never going to have the fastball. So maybe he'll have a longer career. Another way to look at it is, yeah, but once he loses that fastball, if he doesn't learn how to pitch, you know, his career's over. That's how I look at Lamar with the legs. Even though he made some fantastic throws this year, the whole thing, a lot of his game is predicated on how fast and elusive he is. I know Josh Allen can run. It's different. Lamar is so fast and elusive. So that's not going to last like his arm. So on the one hand, I'm thinking maybe that means a shorter career as a premium player, or maybe because he can evolve to where the other players, some of the other elite players are now, even without the legs, it might mean a longer one. I don't know, but that's what I grapple with, with the long-term deal.
Listen, I understand it. I get it. You know, again, his style of play will probably lead some to think, you know what, do you really want to invest the years and the dollars into a guy whose style of play is, you know, maybe more conducive to having, you know, leaving himself susceptible to that type of injury. But I do think Lamar Jackson has made a lot of strides in the passing game, and he's going to continue to make strides in the passing game as, you know, his athletic ability can, you know, wanes over the years.
Meantime, Russell Wilson, guys, you see this changed his avatar on Twitter? Key's laughing. Key, you think this has anything to do with his future with the Seahawks?
Spread
the germs.
No, it's funny because, Wood, when we was playing – it wasn't – the social media game wasn't the game. The game was put your house up for sale. That was the game.
Right.
Everybody changes their social media avatars to send a message.
Or unfollow the team or you know, on your social media. Basically scrub the team off your social media like Kyler Murray. That's how the game is played today. But listen – my gut tells me, man, that Russell Wilson is going to go back to Seattle, because I think what Russell Wilson, if you want to make a change, man, just say it. Come on, just say it, man. Like this is your career. It's nobody else's career but yours. If you are tired of being in Seattle, just come out and say it. You wouldn't be the first to do it, and you're not going to be the last to do it. I think, like, this is just, again, this is my opinion, man. I just feel like Russell Wilson is scared of the blowback.
He going to get, you know, that anyway, people. Though, Wood.
That's what I'm saying, Key. Like, I just wish he would come out and just say, you know what? What the Seattle Seahawks and myself have been able to do over the course of my career has been fantastic. But I feel like now's the time for us to go in different directions. And you know what? Most sensible people will understand. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all. But he's so afraid of the blowback, like you said, and there's nothing. Look, people think about you a certain way anyway already. So let's just cut to the chase on that, right, Wood? Let's just – people think about you a certain way anyway. So just say, I don't want to be in Seattle. Great run. They gave me my chance, my opportunity. We did some great things here. Time for me and my family to move on.
What is that thing that it, like, Russ is one of those dudes where when he talks sometimes it makes you a little uncomfortable because you get the feeling like it's calculated in a way that's also transparent. Like, why are you bothering to kind of make it seem this way when it really seems another way anyway? I don't know. It just, there's something there that I think people find disingenuous. Is that too strong a word? Maybe. I don't know. But that's what it feels like to me. That's what it feels like we're talking about here. That's Damian Woody, ladies and gentlemen, the great D. Wood, who's pulled one of the most impossible feats in modern American life. He tweets a lot, and I've never read a single dumb tweet from Damian Woody. I got plenty of dumb tweets. Yes, anyone who tweets, you could go through it and be like, boy, that was dumb. Not D. Wood.
I tried, Max.
Speaks a very high IQ. Thank you. Thanks, Damian. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it, fellas.
All right, bud.
Tom Brady is the GOAT on the football field. But Key, when it's all said and done, is he going to end up the GOAT of your next real rankings?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
It is time for Key's Real Rankings. And this music is in honor, Key, of you ranking the top five athletes' acting careers, the best five acting careers of athletes of all time. Take it away.
Number six.
Carl Weathers, number six. So this is all the Rocky films, right? The three and the four. So I would say, at six, I'm not a big Rocky fan. I'm not a big Philly fan like that. So I didn't really get into the whole slide on the steps, running down the steps. But Carl Weathers certainly sits at six.
Number five.
The Cap, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Whether it was in Bruce Lee films or Airplane, I mean, he's been a number of movies, but those two are the ones that come to mind. You got to admit, a seven-footer running up those towering stairs and going at it with Bruce Lee back in the 70s was interesting to see.
Number four.
Well, number four is a guy that I don't know which way to say this. Should I just say the Juice? Should I say O.J. Simpson and Naked Gun?
Oh, no.
Or should I not mention him at all? But he's sitting at number four.
Key, don't get fired on Jay's day off. Just come on, let's keep it moving.
All right, let's move from four.
Number three.
The GOAT, MJ. Space Jams. How could you not? Michael Jordan, think about it. Growing up and becoming a professional athlete, I got a chance to see many professional athletes in television shows and movies and things of that nature. But he was with Bugs' damn bunny. I ain't never seen another athlete rolling with Bugs in the crew. So he sits at number three
till LeBron
in Space Jams.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the same.
Yeah.
Number two.
Ray Allen. Ray Allen sitting at Loving Basketball with Ray Allen at number two. Now, many would say, well, he was just playing. I mean, he got game, my bad. Loving Basketball, he got game. He got game. Many people would say, well, it's a basketball movie. This is his life. It's easy to play. Not if you've never acted before. Mm-hmm. He did a phenomenal job sitting at number two.
Number one.
And number one is probably the number one box office guy in all of ex-athletes, our current athletes, that have hit the box office, and you know who that is, The Rock. I don't care what movie it is. It could be a kid movie, a Fast and Furious. Whatever he seems to be touching turns into gold from a movie industry standpoint. He didn't have a long career at all at the University of Miami. He didn't play in the NFL, but it does not matter. He sits at the number one ranking in all of acting careers. And then when you look at it, I got a few honorable mentions, right? You got Bubba Smith, Police Academy. Mm-hmm. You got Marilyn Olsen, Little House on the Prairie. You got Jim Brown in a bunch of movies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so I'm sure I'm missing some people. So fire away.
Well, the biggest omission from my point of view is Andre the Giant.
Literally the biggest.
Yeah, literally the biggest is Andre the Giant in Princess Bride. Anybody got a peanut? Like that, oh, what a great performance from Andre the Giant. And Key also, I got to say, the Carl Weathers pull I love. You didn't even mention Predator. He was.
Oh, I didn't, huh?
No, how about this one? Action Jackson. They didn't have him as the side dude, right? He was the protagonist. Action Jackson. That was Carl Weathers.
I just, you know, these dudes got so many movies in their careers. I just think of, you know, but I think of Rocky.
Yeah.
Apollo Creed. But then when you said the Predator, I thought of that too. I'm like, oh, okay.
How about Happy Gilmore? He played what was his name? the coach. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name.
If I told you I didn't see Happy Gilmore, would you be mad?
Chubbs.
No.
Okay. I didn't see Happy Gilmore.
Chubbs was his name? Right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
But does Arnold Schwarzenegger count as an athlete?
Because he was a bodybuilder?
Yeah. Evan, does that qualify?
If you count golfers.
No.
Okay. Then no, it doesn't.
So what is it? What is it, a beauty contest? What would you call?
Not an athlete.
Well, I mean, I bet you if we knew some bodybuilders and we asked them that question, considered themselves as athletes,
they'd say yes.
They'd say yes in a heartbeat.
So where would Arnold be on the list?
He probably would fall either one or two.
Arnold would be one for me. Let me say that.
Yeah, he would either be one or two. It just depends on, because The Rock is pretty dominant, right? I mean, it's just.
But does The Rock get you to the movies? Like Arnold in the day. Key,
no, Arnold got me to the movies. The Rock's not getting me to the movies.
That's the bottom line. Arnold got me to the movies probably more than anyone else ever.
Yeah, Arnold's for sure getting me to the. I done seen so many of his movies. But he's a more.
Conan the Barbarian.
Well, you can go Conan. You can go Terminator.
Oh,
you can go when he was. What's the one? Running Man.
Total Recall.
The one with with Roseanne's ex-husband, Tom Arnold. The one that he was with Tom Arnold.
Jingle All the Way.
You say what?
Jingle All the Way, isn't that?
Not Jingle All the Way. It's another one. Spy. God, he's been in so many damn.
True Lies.
True Lies.
Great movie.
True Lies.
Yeah.
James Cameron.
Oh, I literally, to this day, if I see it on my TV, I can watch any NBA game could be on. And True Lies is on. I'm watching True Lies.
Arnold, I'm saying, like,
yeah,
he would be number one.
You're
going to see that.
You're right, Max. He would be one.
You're going to check it out, even though I don't know.
You want to throw out the number and see if people react?
That's a good idea. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And, of course, I must mention Muhammad Ali played himself in The Greatest, My Own Life Story. All right. Your turn to weigh in next. 888-SAY-ESPN. Greatest acting career.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.